Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, the Racing Post number one audio horse racing podcast. Welcome to the preview show where we'll be getting stuck into races from Ascot and York. My name's Sam Hart, filling in on the preview show for Bruce Millington, who's having a nice 10-day break. As always, I can't do this show alone, though. I'm joined by two of the Racing Post finest, Richard Birch and Mark Boylan. Mark, I'll start with you. It's been a little while, actually, since we've had you on the postcast. An exciting 10 days coming up. We've got the King George on Saturday, Galway next week, and the exciting Qatar Goodwood Festival. Exciting times, isn't it, Mark?
Absolutely. After Saturday's action, you'd recommend some way of battery charging on Sunday, because you're going to need all your stamina if you're tackling Goodwood and Galway, especially for Galway, Monday to Sunday, how guys can last from the whole week. I was chatting to British owners that are going to come over here, and they've said they've booked seven nights in Galway, so that sort of stamina, see them through any either chase, I'd imagine, or anything like that. That's a serious feat. So, no, really looking forward to what lies ahead. Some great race on both sides of the water.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a 10 days. And, Birchie, we know you're a big fan of some of the smaller fixtures, but there's plenty of value to be had this week. And also, look, Goodwood, a local track for yourself, and I'm sure you're looking to come over.
Yeah, love Goodwood. It's always been one of my favourite meetings of the year. Can't wait to go. I've never seen Baid in the flesh. I'm coming over on Wednesday. Can't wait to see him. Then the week after, it's a three-day Brighton Festival, which is the best 3 days of the year. So there you go.
Ah, there we go. Looking forward to Brighton after the big two festivals next week. So hopefully we'll get Birchie on the postcast and potentially give us a few tips for that meeting. So let's get into Ascot then first. We'll start with Ascot, then we'll have a break and go into York and then get the gents' best bets elsewhere. So the first race we kick off with is the 150. It's the 6 furlong Princess Margaret Keeneland Stakes, a Group 3 for the 2-year-old fillies. And Lazoo is your 7-4 favourite here. Glen Laurel's 13-2, Kinter 13-2, Palm Lily and Royal Charter 8-1. Minnetonka is 9-1, then 12-1 and bigger the rest of them. Mark, Lazoo the favourite here, beaten by Morge the last day in the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. That was on the July Festival at Newmarket. Obviously, she sets the standard probably on that form. Are you with her?
Yeah, I think I have to be. Look, it wouldn't be my strongest vote of the weekend, just with the slight query over turning out, you know, four times in a very, very short spell. But I think she's the best of these. I haven't been blown away by a lot of these in behind while they're useful fillies. Another one that could run well, Glen Laurel, thought that there wasn't a whole pile of depth to what she beat at Thirsk, but the way she went about it, you know, the style of the victory, I really did like that. There's a lot of these that are stepping up into group company for the first time, and it's going to be interesting to see where they stack up, but just have a sense that she might be more comfortable at this level than others. Lazoo sets the standard, but then Laurel could follow her home.
Yeah, okay, Lazoo, yeah, does set the standard as the favourite here, but Glen Laurel potentially the danger. According to Mark, who are you with in the opener, Ascot Birchie?
I think I'm going to go for Kinter. George Bowie's runner, got two victories on the all-weather. And there's one of those stats that suggests that horses that win on the all-weather generally translate that form to Ascot for some reason. I've got no idea what the reason is, but there is a, you know, horses that win at Kempton and Chelmsford and whatever, they go and do great things at Ascot. George Bowie is a fantastic young trainer. Training's all about getting results, and he gets results. He gets them with middle of the grade horses, really good horses, and low grade horses. Kinter is stepping up in grade. I don't think he'd be putting her in the race if he didn't think she was up to the task. And I noticed she's got a Group 2 Lowther Stakes entry at York next month. So I think this might be a precursor to a better thing. So
she does have better targets. I've just looked here. Yeah, I think that Lauer's going to be on the agenda. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I know Lazoo sets the standard and has got you know, a high quality level of form already. But when you're looking at the price of her, and I say to myself, would I be surprised if she won by a workmanlike half length? No. Would you be surprised if she won by a, you know, hard ridden length? No. Would I be surprised if she won on the bridle by 2.5 lengths? I would be. So I have to take her on.
Okay, yeah, no, it could be. Kinter could upset the favourite, according to Richard Birch. William Buick takes the ride. We're recording this on Friday. Big happy birthday to William Buick, who's 34 today. I've just got the paper in front of me. He's got a few books at Newmarket tonight, and hopefully he can ride a winner for Birchie tomorrow at Ascot. And let's move on to the next race, then, the 225. This is the 1 mile Longines Valiant Stakes. It's a group three for the fillies and mares. Zambac is your 7-4 favourite. Jumbly is 4-1. November is 9-2. Oscula 6-1. Kind Gesture 9-1. And then we're looking at much bigger the rest of them. Exciting to have a German raider. November come over once again, was over for the Royal meeting. Who are you going to be with in this group three, Virgie?
Yeah, I've got no idea about German form. Zambac is the one for me. I know it looks obvious on paper. Course and distance second at Royal Ascot in the Sandringham handicap. It's going up in class, but I don't think the, particularly with fillies and mares, I don't think the leap from top handicap class to group three is particularly big leap. So I expect her to take it in her stride. I think she'll win.
Okay, Zambac for Richard Birch. Mark, he's mentioned there the Sandringham form. I mean, if it's as good as we thought it was, then Zambac should be winning this. Obviously, we had Heredia disappoint at Sandown just after Royal Ascot. That may have just been the bounce back factor. Would you be with the favourite here and probably hope that Heredia does bounce back as well?
Yeah, look, I actually think that Sandringham form is quite good. I'd be willing to forgive the run there. I've seen a couple of fillies come out of Royal Ascot. Not just exclusive to fillies, but particularly fillies, probably more than colts, have run since Royal Ascot and maybe just haven't quite clicked. I wonder, on some of those bacon hot days, producing a massive performance, might have just taken a bit more out of them than you traditionally expect. Sagamia, though, came out of the Sandringham and went and won the listed Cairn Rouge Stakes at Killarney next time up. And there's been a few other boosts to the farm horses coming out and winning or placing since. So I thought going into that race on the day that it was quite a good race. Coming out of it, I felt that too. And looking back at it now, a month later or so, I'm still happy that it's a good piece of form, despite the winner getting beaten. Zambac, you know, from where she came from on the day, thought it was a hell of a run. You know, didn't even entirely have a totally straight run through either. Stepping up to this task, be very, very much in the same camp as Birchie here. I think she can make this leap. The one that I thought, Jumbly, I would be willing to forgive the run of the German Guineas last time. Just race didn't totally unfold for her properly. Excuse me. The race didn't totally unfold for her properly last time. You know, emphasis on pace late on. I just thought she was probably in the wrong position. She's better than that, but I just like more juice in the price. And compared to the two, Zambac is the one that makes more appeal. So I'll be siding with her.
Okay, Zambac for Richard Birch and Mark Boylan there. Potentially Jumbly, the German form, could work out okay and could be the danger in there, according to Mark Boylan. Now let's go on to the 3 o'clock, which is the seven furlong at Moët and Chandon International Stakes, Heritage Handicap Class 2, and Dark Shift and Jumbie are your 6-1 joint favourites. Air to Air 8-1. Fresh is 9-1. I think they're looking for a little bit of softer ground with that horse. That's not going to come. Chief of Chiefs, Colin Keane's taking the ride there, 10-1. Tactical 10-1 and 12-1 and bigger the rest of them. It's open as always this race, Mark. Bless him. The July meeting was very good at Newmarket, and I was very impressed by the way this horse finished. Can he do it again? I'm not quite sure. Who are you going to be siding with in this?
I actually love Bless Him, and you know, it's one of those horses even where do you ever have that moment where you see someone tweeting something or they've said something on the TV that represents your thoughts at that moment? It was quite like when Paul Keighley tweeted when this horse won last time. I think he said, "Bless him. Oh no," or something a little bit more foul than that, because I know he's been on this train too, and I felt the same way about him. I really like the horse, but just catching him right has been difficult. But I did enjoy seeing him go and do it, for all that it wasn't one of his more arrogant, I suppose, wins with Jamie Spencer. I'd love to see him do it, but just low draw, I'd be slightly concerned here, just with the way that the pace is stacking out. Looking at it, there's a lot of horses that like to be ridden patiently, drawn low, that I can see here, and higher up there's a little bit more pace, and that's where I'd like to shoot with Accidental Agent. Look, I know he's eight. He doesn't have any to prove to anybody at this stage, but ran an absolute screamer earlier in the year when he was second to Vaffertino in the Victoria Cup. That was £3 lower than this. Thought he ran well, in fairness, last time at Newmarket behind Bless Him, but Ascot is his place. This is where he's best. I think he's drawn the right place. You know, we've seen horses of big weights and these handicaps show up well. Actually, in particular, Handicapped International, you know, we had Danya, who was second from top last year, going win it, and Raisin Sand, that was third in the weights as well. So I wouldn't be overly concerned by that. Look, at a 25-1, you don't have to make too many, excuses to have a chance on Accidental Agent. At this stage, I'm sure he doesn't know anyone anything, but I think he'll show up well here. I think he could have a good go and hopefully hit the frame anyway with your enhanced places.
Yeah, the legend that is Accidental Agent. Seems like he's been around for absolutely ever. He's 8 years old. But yeah, Mark Boylan thinks that he'll be putting in a big run. Who are you going to be with in this open contest, Bertie?
Well, we're big fans of Eve Johnson-Houghton in this race because I fancy the stablemate Jumbie. 4 years younger than Accidental Agent, still improving, still unexposed. Unexposed at 7 furlongs, most importantly. Thing I like about Jumbie, most of all, is the fact that they put cheek pieces on for the first time. In the Bunbury Cup, he veered over the veered across the track in the closing stages. I'm not 100% certain he'd have won the race if he'd have kept straight, but he probably would have won the race. As I say, he's still unexposed. He's got a really nice profile for the race. Having said that, there's 22 runners. 15 of them have got a chance. It's a minefield, but you're looking for a horse who's at the top of his game, possibly has a few pounds to play with the handicapper. And of all these in the race, the three I came up with were Jumbie, Dark Shift, and Fresh. Dark Shift has gone up for winning the Hunt Cup. Maybe the handicapper might have him now. Fresh, as you alluded to earlier on the broadcast, probably wants softer ground. Not going to get that tomorrow. So that's why I'm off him. So Jumbie. No, I fancy Jumbie quite strongly.
Yeah, Jumbie. I think a lot of people fancy this horse, and I'm on board as well. I do like Jumbie. So Jumbie for Richard Birch, and it's going to be Accidental Agent as a good each way price at 25-1 for Mark Boylan. Now let's go on to the big one then, the 3:35. This is the 1.5 mile King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Kipco Stakes. It's a Group 1 part of the British Champions Series. We have a field of six, but what an excellent field this is. Westover is your 6-4 favourite. Emily Upjohn, 11-4. Mishriff, 7-2. Torquato Tasso, the Ark winner from last year, 12-1. Broom, the Hardwick winner, 18-1. And Pile Driver is 33-1. God, Mark, it's a small field here, but what a top quality field it is.
Brilliant race. Brilliant race. Can't wait to see it, Sam. Should be. You've got all the ingredients here for to throw up a top class winner. And, you know, you've got lovely lines coming together where you have your Oaks form, your Derby form, your older horses. You know, we've got the Ark winner from last year. It's come to the boil really, really nicely. Although we'd obviously love to have had Desert Crown here, but I think it's the sort of race that come 3:35 on Saturday. We won't really be thinking about the horses that aren't there. We'll be thinking of what's right in front of us. I really like Mishriff. He's been a horse of a savage time for down through the years, and I don't even think he really gets the credit he deserves overall. You know, he's incredibly versatile. My slight hang up would be, I suppose, I think he's better over an extended 10 than a mile and a half.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily expect a massive burn up here over a mile and a half. Obviously you have Broom there who's going to go forward. But Ryan Moore, I don't think he'll be setting it up for himself to be taken over late on. I think he'll be doing it nice and sensible out in front. And James Doyle, I'm sure, when he's taken over from David Egan after an unfortunate run last time at Sandown, when he got boxed in, I'm sure that'll be absolutely plan A, that he does not get caught in any sort of pocket this time. And he's a lovely horse when he gets down and strides out. And I'll be really looking forward to seeing what he can produce. I think he's a little bit underestimated in the market, to be quite honest. Like Westover, while he was very impressive in the Irish Derby, the substance of that form, you'd have to question. Now, he won by 7 lengths, so it does give him a lot of kind of breathing space for picking holes in form. But I was disappointed with Pisbet Eel, the runner-up in the Irish Derby, when he disappointed in the Grand Prix de Paris. And
yeah.
Emily Upjohn, you know, I know we came out of the Oaks, Buner is an unlucky loser, and yeah, look, she would have won if she had got away cleanly, but Tuesday didn't have an ideal time of it either, and I wouldn't be willing to knock her on the basis of what Tuesday showed in the Irish Derby. I just think it was a lot for Tuesday to have to do in a short space of time. You know, she barely turned 3 and she was after running in, you know, Guineas, Oaks Derby. So it's a lot for her to take in. But I think she's still got to up her game to get to Mishriff level. Like Mishriff has that proven Group 1 international experience against Premier horses for, you know, more than one season now. He's 5. This could be a bit of a baptism of fire for the younger horses. And yeah, I'm pretty sweet on Mishriff. I just think this could set up nicely. And just if there is a market out there, I've been trying to find one this morning, but to no avail. Usually they kind of pop up maybe on race day itself. But I'd be quite interested if there was a Broom versus Torquato or Tasso head-to-head, because looking at the prices here, you can back Torquato or Tasso at 9s. I think Broom at 20s. I don't see that difference between them. I think Broome could finish ahead of Turcat or Tasso. You know, we saw the best of him in an arc where proper emphasis on stamina and proper emphasis on ability to handle a dig in the ground. He's not getting that here. I know he was good last time and he does have form with good in it, but I just think Broome around here particularly, you know what you're going to get from him. And, you know what, kind of double the price if there was a head-to-head market offering that type of... I'd be very interested in Broome, but it's Mischa for me from a win perspective.
Very, very good case and very good analysis of the race there from Mark. Yeah, I think Broome's a fascinating one, potentially a big price. We've got a masterful ride from Ryan Moore in the Hardwick. And I do agree, Turcato Tasso, the arc winner, is probably going to want some soft in the ground, a bit like fresh. That's not going to come for this horse. Birchie, could you see an upset in here potentially with the three at the top of the market, or does it revolve around them?
No, Westover won't get beat. Go back to the Derby, Desert Crown. Everyone was raving about him as the best winner for a long, long, long time of a Derby. You know, the Derby's been in the doldrums for quite a long time in terms of brilliant winners. And everyone was raving about Desert Crown as potentially a brilliant winner. Now, you go back over that video a million times and you watch Westover, and I don't think anybody can deny that if Westover had got a proper run in the straight, he'd have finished within maybe half a length of Desert Crown. So you're talking about a horse that everyone says is a potentially brilliant horse, and a horse that's hasn't got a proper run and hasn't been beaten that far by him. He proved he was a really good horse when he went to the Irish Derby. I know Mark said that the runner-up was disappointing that day. I think it was just the power of Westover. I mean, from two furlongs out, he just broke the hearts of everything in that race. He surged away from them. If you looked in the final half furlong, he was very, very, very strong. You know, absolutely, you know, rock solid at the finish. Ascot's a stiff mile and a half. He's going to devour that hill. I think he's still improving. I think he gets, you know, the three-year-old allowance. He gets 11 pounds from Mishriff. I understand the case Mark's making for Mishriff, but I was disappointed with the horse in the Eclipse. You could have thrown a blanket over the first five in that race. You know, everyone's raving about the French winner, but once again, you could have thrown a blanket over the field at the finish. Emily Upjohn, I think the key quote there is, yes, she was unlucky in the Oaks. Obviously, she stumbled, lost six lengths at the start, used up a lot of energy to make up that ground. But before that race, there was a quote from John Gosden, which I think is absolute key to how he regards this filly. He said, yes, I could compare her favourably with Tagruder, who won the King George in 2014. But basically, don't be silly about comparing her with Enable, not in the same class. But if that quote is correct, then I don't think Emily Upjohn is, you know, quite the wonder filly that some people have been making her out to be. So I think it's a race that revolves around the 2-3-year-olds. I say the weight for age is massive at this time of year. And, you know, however much I look at the race, I can't see Westover getting beat.
Okay, Westover for Richard Birch and Mishriff for Mark Borden. I'd love to have another guest on this week who came out and said that Emily Upjohn would win, because we would have no idea who would be going. Unfortunately, I'm with Mishriff as well. I think the Mishriff will run a big race. I think it'll
he's got around. The double penalty, Sam. He's no chance now.
Mishriff and Westover are the two. I'm not sure about Emily Upjohn, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens on Saturday. An excellent race, and I'm really looking forward to that. So that's it for Ascot. Join us in just a moment where we look at three races from York.
Don't miss the big kickoff in the Racing Post on Monday, July 25th. It's your best bet for the new season with unrivaled opinion from Racing Post Sport's top team of experts, plus all the odds and stats in the ultimate football guide. That's the big kickoff in the Racing Post on Monday, July 25th.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Richard Birch and Mark Boylan. As you heard from the advert, the big kickoff comes to you on Monday. That'll be a pullout in the paper on Monday, so don't miss that. There'll also be a video coming to you on the Racing Post YouTube channel on Monday evening, looking at the four major English football leagues. That'll be with Jack Reeve, Mark Langdon and Joe Casey. Looking forward to that with the season only a week away, the EFL kicking off. So looking forward to that one there. Right, let's get back to the racing. The 205 at York. This is the 5 furlong Skybet Jumps Jockeys Nunthorpe handicap. This is to be ridden by professional jump jockeys only. It's a class 4 handicap. The betting looks like this. Earbar Gum is 15-2 with Stone Circle the same price. Val de Travers is also 15-2. International Dream 17-2. Primo's Comet and Sun and Sunny 9-1. Ginger Jam is 12-1 and 14s and bigger the rest. Mark, a race for jumps jockeys to show their ability over the minimum trip on the flat. It's not a race you can really have a strong opinion on, is it?
No, not particularly. You could make the joke that some riders who like to go off too hard in front could be very well suited to this type of race here, but we won't go down that road. The horse I quite liked, actually, to tie it in with that, Val, not mentioned riders, far from it, because he's excellent. Is the one I like, just looking at riders aside. Won really well last time, and Sound of Iona has done wonders for the form, winning 3 of the last 4 starts since. But I went looking then, I see Tom Scudamore in this race. It was first run in 2017. He won it then. He was second in 2018. We didn't have a race in 2020, and he won it last year. So Tom has 2 wins and a second, I think, from 4 rides in it. So it's done no harm for it, but look, it's not a race. You know, I'd enjoy watching it for the fun of it, and but I wouldn't be getting too carried away. If you were having a mad one, I thought Duke of Firenze, for all now that he's, you know, talk about, he's nearly as old as me here. I'm a few years older. He's 13, but God, this horse, we've been down through serious journeys with this fella, but excellent on his day. He's down to 61. He's only the second lowest mark of his whole career. He's won 12 times. He's been some star for Connections, but 3 of them have come over this course and distance. Look at, you'd be expecting, you know, he's 50-1. It's not a shock to see him that price. But, you know, 6 places, some farms, and a track he likes, down to the second lowest mark of his career. Just a slightly quirky race. You know, it could just evoke a bit of a response from him, something a little bit different. But I am by no means coming forward, huge conviction. But I could just see him possibly outrunning his price at 50-1, Duke of Firenze, if you were getting them enhanced place and fancy taking something for a bit of fun in a race that is generally that.
Duke of Firenze, 50-1, Richie McLernan takes the ride. It's going to be a messy race. It's interesting to hear Mark Boylan there talk like Tom Scudamore was a sprint jockey specialist there. I'm not quite sure about that, but he does have a good record in this race.
To be signing him up for Winter Power and all those good ones. Where was he for Batash? Jim Crowley has done the job,
We'll get him in for the actual Nunthorpe itself. Birch is one of those strange races this. I mean, you look at the top of the market, Brian Hughes, Harry Cobden, Tom Scudamore and the joint favourites. What do you make of this?
Well, everyone's got to put their fingers over their ears now, because I'm going to tip up Ebar Gum. And if you've been reading my columns over the last 3 or 4 years or whatever, you'll know that I've been over a cliff 5 times with this horse. I'm still here to tell the tale, however. I thought this horse, when he was with Tim Easterby as a 3-year-old, he won a 5 furlong handicap on very fast ground at York's Ebor meeting. And I thought he was going to be a Group 3 horse the following year. I wrote it, I said it, everything. I've picked up this horse as if he's, you know, a group race horse. Everything went wrong over the next 2 or 3 years. I don't know what went wrong with the horse. I think he lost his confidence. He's probably had about 30 defeats before he got back to winning ways this season. Maybe the change of stable. He's gone to Kevin Ryan as livened him up again. I don't know, but he's absolutely tumbled in the handicap. And on his last 2 runs, he ended that losing sequence 3 runs ago when he won. But his last 2 runs, he was second to a banging form horse at Nottingham, but it was his last run. I saw the old Ebar Gum. He was back. He was second over the course and distance at York to Gathenthar, who was in tremendously hot form at the time, and I thought he had all his confidence back. You know, he's gone up a couple of pounds for that second. He's got Brian Hughes on. I think he's well drawn in 14. He normally comes out the starting stalls really quickly. He's got brilliant early pace. York's the sort of track where if you get to the front, it's very hard to pick him up. He's only got 10 stone 11 on his back. I've made the case a million times over the last 4 years, but I'm going to back Ebar Gum, and I think he'll win.
Ebar Gum. Oshie McSweeney's taken the ride the last 3 times. Birch, are you happy having the champion jump jockey switched on board here?
Well, it sounds stupid. I'd rather have £5 off, if I'm honest. You know, obviously, I can't. You know, I'd rather he was carrying 10 stone 6 and 10 11. But absolutely, in a race like this, I've got Brian Hughes, who's, you know, the best. So I'm not grumbling, but I would always take a good £5 off rather than have a fully fledged jockey.
Okay, here by gum 15-2. Looking forward to seeing how that race is run on Saturday at York. Let's move on to the 2:40. Then the 6 Furlong Skybet Dash handicap, a Class 2 handicap. Silver Samurai is the 5-1 favourite. Gale Force Meyer 7-1. Mon Damage is 8-1, along with Nationwide. Lucky Man 17-2, and then we're looking at double figures the rest of them. Another open-looking contest here at York. Birchie, who are you going to be with in this one?
Yeah, very, very hard race, this one. I'm going to go for Mondom Edge. Yes. Joint top weight. Class horse. Acts very well at York. Will like the ground. Ran very well in a listed event at the course a couple of weeks ago. I think he's the one to beat, but it's a you know, Gaffan Farr, just mentioned him on the commentary about Ebar Gum. He's in very, very good form. Nationwide's in very good form. There's any number of potential winners of this race, but Mondom Edge, class angle, top weight for me.
Okay, Mark, I love the fact that Birchie's put up Mondom Edge here. I absolutely love this horse. If you owned a horse, this is the kind of horse that you want to be owning. This horse just never ever stops. Top weight here, 9 runs so far this year. Can he get his first win of the year on board here?
He's a dinger, isn't he? He's absolutely, you know, those type of horses that, you know, you can have just so much fun with them. And he's found himself at home at that sort of level, hasn't he? You know, running listed company, group company even lately, from where he's come from, kind of down in the 80s originally, and, you know, running at Suttle, I remember him early on. He's come a fair way. But no, look at the one I really liked here, and Bertie's touched on it. I think Gatan Farr, I've seen some 12-1 about him out there. I think that's very, very fair. I'd be willing to take a chance on him each way for sure. Again, the Ebag Gum form there, really good performance. And just the angle with him, I felt here, was cheek piece for the first time when he beat Ebag Gum at York. Last time they left him off and slow away, drawn on the wing, just didn't help himself. That key part of the race, which is so crucial over five. The race, he was on the back foot, still ran well, only beaten a length and a half. But now they've gone back with the cheek pieces here, back to York again. You know, I just think at the prices, he makes plenty of sense. And, you know, a mark of 90, the way he won two starts ago, I can still see him being quite competitive off that. And course form around here, that's obviously a plus. So I'll take a bit of him here, Gatan Farr. But I won't begrudge you if Mondom Edge is there about to finish either.
Gatan Farr, 12-1 for Mark Boylan. And Birchie's going to be with Mondom Edge at 8-1. I'll also be with Mondom Edge, hopefully. He can get his first win of the year. On Saturday, let's move on to the final race we're going to be previewing of the main races. And this is the 3:15 at York, the 1.25 mile Sky Bet York Stakes. It's a Group 2. And your favourite here is Claymore, 6-4. Dubai Honour for the Haggis Stable, 7-4. Dubai Future, 4-1. Sir Busker is 12s. And Dark Moon Rising is the outside of the field at 25-1. The Jubilee Party spoiler here, Claymore. Beating Reach for the Moon at Royal Ascot, but you think he's probably going to take the beating here, Mark, wouldn't you?
I actually don't, Sam. I think he's the wrong favourite. I'm a big Dubai Honour fan. You know, I for all the Claymore won well, and he's a horse I do have time for. I've liked what he run his first round of the season when he was second to Native Trail in the Craven. But you know, I don't rate the form of the Hampton Court all that strongly. I don't. You know, Aidan O'Brien can throw something at it useful some of the time, and we didn't have any of his best operators lining up. King Max has been beaten since. Reach for the Moon didn't see the best of him on the day, I'm quite sure, as well. So for all that I do like Claymore as a horse, I think when you're talking about established and more substantial form, I think Dubai Honour can win. I think he can give away the weight. Like this horse, proven, you know, in Group 1 company, you know, fourth in a Hong Kong Cup, second in a Champions Stakes, you know, at his ideal trip. You know, I just think it's going to take a fair performance to beat him, really. You know, and, I know first start after a bit of a break, but looking at the numbers this morning, Haggis horses in group races since 2019 after breaks of 100 days or more, you know, nearly 40% strike rate. And if you're, you know, quitting them all, you'd be up 57. Wouldn't be too concerned. Even over the last decade, 24% strike rate, up 35 for 11 stakes profit. So, you know, that doesn't concern me. The market is just beginning to even out a small bit because Claymore, he's still 5-4 in places, 11-10. And, you know, Dubai Honour was 2-1, 9-4. I think they're beginning to come together a little bit more in price. And I think Dubai Honor should be favoured, and I think he should win.
Okay, there we go. Claymore is on a bit of a drift, 5-4, 11-8, 6-4. And Dubai Honor, it says here 11-4, 15-8, 7-4. So maybe they are going to flip-flop come Saturday. Five runners here, Richard Birch. Who's the last tip for you in the big Saturday races?
I fancy Claymore. You know, the £9 weight for age, only carries 8 stone 13, improving 3-year-old. Jane Chappell-Himes in brilliant form, only 4 runs. Still unexposed, best to come. I don't think those the older horses who carry 9 stone 8. Don't think they're you know, it's a group two on paper, isn't it? I feel sorry for this race because there's 125 grand in added prize money to this race, and yet it's totally and utterly overshadowed by the King George. Just all this sort of happens year after year after year, and just feel a bit sorry. I feel sorry for the race, really, because it's a you know, when you're putting up 125 grand, you really want to be in the spotlight, don't you? I think it's doesn't really fit well on the calendar.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, yeah, it's a big group too here, and it is disappointing that we've actually only got the 5 runners and potentially not the best field that we could possibly have either. You know, it could encourage a few more in had there not been a big meeting at Ascot. So it's going to be Claymore for Richard Birch. Mark Boyden's going to be with last year's Champion Stakes second, Dubai Honor at 7-4. That's it for the main TV races. Join us in just a second for the gents' other selections as well as their naps for the weekend ahead.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the postcast with Sam, Richard and Mark. We're going to look at the other selections for the gents for the weekend. So without giving your nap away, Richard Birch, who else should we be focusing on this weekend?
I've got two. In the 5 o'clock at York on Saturday, I quite like Gibbside. I was very impressed with him last time. He's been on my list of horses to follow for 2 or 3 months. He was a little bit disappointing, but he really came to the boil last time at Ripon. Won it very, very easily. Conspicuously strong at the finish, which is a sign I always like in a middle distance horse. He's the only 3-year-old in the race. He gets a lot of weight from his older, more exposed rivals. And although it's a pretty significant step up in class, I think he'll be up to it with all that weight, in receipt of all that weight. And the other horse I really like over the weekend, at Uttoxeter on Sunday, the 3-mile handicap chase, there's a horse called Tomo Roughly, right at the bottom of the weights. Now, you look at the form of this horse and you'll think he's absolutely rubbish, but he isn't. It wouldn't surprise me if bookmakers put up 14 or 16 to 1 early on, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was a lot of money for this horse. I watched him 3 outings ago over hurdles, I think it was at Warwick, and never seen a slower horse in my life. Had absolutely zero cruising speed, couldn't keep up, you know, in a 3-mile, 2-furlong handicap hurdle around Warwick. So I was inclined to not go for him ever again. Then he ran at Worcester, put him over fences and ran him over at Worcester, and I couldn't believe the cruising speed he showed. It's like fences just really brought him to life. He ran a really good race on that day, and then he went back to Worcester last time and he finished 4th. I backed him each way. I think he was 10 to 1 or 12 to 1. And he would definitely have finished in the first 3 if he hadn't made a terrible mistake. It wasn't a terrible mistake. He just landed awkwardly at the 4th last, the first fence in the straight at Worcester. And he lost all sorts of momentum. And from cruising, he went into being ridden along and 4 lengths behind and being niggled along and whatever. And he couldn't really get back into the race. Now, if things go better for him, I mean, he's going to be 16 or 14 to 1, so you can take a chance. But I think he's more than capable of winning a race off his current mark. he's the one for me. He's going to be my Sunday special.
Okay, perfect. So Gibside in the 5 o'clock at York on Saturday. That horse for the East, he's currently priced up at 6-1. And Tomo roughly in the 155 at Utoxeter on Sunday in Birchestown. It should be opening up at double figure odds. Worth taking a chance on. Mark, anything for you in Ireland this weekend?
Yeah, just we've got racing at Gordon on Saturday, the Cam before the storm of Galway next week, and the 220, I thought Blazing Skies, thought that would take a bit of beating, provided that any of the newcomers aren't out of the ordinary, or anything out of the ordinary, I should say, and one of the newcomers is a five-year-old, hadn't been seen so far, so, you know, I'm pretty happy with the level of form we're going to be dealing with. Lovely run on debut at Nace, thought she was going to play a bigger part, just didn't seem to get home over the mile there. She's by Dark Angel, drops back down to 7 furlongs. That should suit. The horse that won that occasion didn't have much to do, has bolted up again at Killarney since, so I'd say it was quite a useful maiden. And the third, even, that was just in front of the selection, that was second in the maiden at the Curragh as well since. So, you know, there's a bit of substance to the form. I don't think that the rivals she's facing here have massive, massive potential. And I think that, you know, Willie McCreary and Billy Lee couldn't be in better form. One ride for Billy last night, Leopardstown, one winner for Willie. And I think she'll take a bit of beating in the 220 at Gordon, Blazing Skies. And just with a view to next week, a little bit disappointed that I've gone and refreshed the page this morning and seen the prices shrunk. But Salt and Stall, I think he'll go well on Tuesday in the Colm Quinn BMW Mile at Galway. That's the 640. Won the race twice before. And I thought, you know, he's the sort of horse that he does come to form for these big handicaps. Adam McGuinness, he was chatting him earlier in the week and he told me he could run as many as 8 in here. And Salt and Stall, exceptional over a mile at Galway. He's won from stall 12, stall 14. It doesn't matter to him. I thought his last run at Leopardstown, having been in the doldrums slightly, that was a lovely return to form. Fourth in a Premier handicap over a mile and two. He doesn't stay a mile and two. Ado couldn't believe that he got dropped £2 for the run as well. Now he'll only run off £1 lower as far as I can assess here. But Mark at 97, having won it off 96, I think, 2 years ago. Yeah, I think he'll show up well. He was 16s. Unfortunately, he's shortened to 8s, but I still think each way at 8s, when you get your bit of each way places in the day, I think he'll show up well. So while not necessarily this weekend, hopefully we'll squeeze that in for Tuesday, Salt and Stall.
Yeah, he's got, looking at the race there, that's in the 6:40 at Galway on Tuesdays. Got plenty of runners, and a lot of them are course and distance winners as well, which is absolutely fascinating. Yeah, so Salt and Stall 8-1 could be one for Mark there, and also Blazing Skies, that's in the 220 at Gowran Park, that's on Saturday, and so looking forward to that. Right, it's nap time, gents. Let's see who the best bet is this weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Richard Birch, we'll start with you. Who's the best bet for you this week?
Tomo Roughly, each way, 155, Utoxeter Sunday.
There we go, Tomo Roughly, no price available, but should be double figure prices. That's on Sunday at Utoxeter. And Mark Boylan, off you go, sir.
Saturday at York, 3:15. I think Dubai Honour, he'll take all the beat.
Dubai Honour in the York Stakes on Saturday. That's it. That's it for the postcast this week. I'll be back on Monday with Graham Robway and Chris Cook to look at the first 3 days of the Qatar Goodwood Festival. Looking forward to that. As always, thanks very much to my guest, Mark Boylan, and Richard Birch. And if you have been listening, thanks for all the recent support and the subscribers. Do continue to subscribe if you haven't already. Enjoy your weekend. And as always, if you are having a bet, do remember to gamble responsibly.